life's a journey, but what an amazing journey we get to be on. Whether it's as an entrepreneur or whatever career choice, everyone's got a gift. And if you can inspire your children, your students, people to go, what's unique about me?
Family life is essential. Jim and I are on a mission to help you live the best one. You'll hear personal stories from thought leaders of strengths and struggles with proven strategies to help you make the most of your 18 summers. I'm your co-host, Jamie Shields.
Brian Scudamore, welcome to the 18 Summers Family Podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jim.
You know, I have to share a story. It's always good when you have someone on and everyone's been excited for you to come on, but there was a story between you and I. I was invited by mutual friends to come up to Gathering of Titans, which is a group of really successful entrepreneurs that have been getting together, gosh, almost like 20 years. And I got up and I gave a pretty vulnerable talk talking about the mistakes we make in our life and trying to teach our children differently and prepare them for the difficult times and shared the lessons that we share with our kids. And, you know, you get off stage coming from a group like that where, did I just add value or did I not? And I don't know if you remember this or not, but literally the first person that came up to me was you and said, hey, I had ADD as a kid as well. I didn't do good in school. I had trouble in school. The lessons that you said you're teaching your kids, that really speaks to me. Thanks for sharing today. And
yeah,
you came right up to me. And I said to our mutual friend, Barrett Ersick, who's been on the show, I said, who's that? And he said, that's Brian Scudamore. I said, the 1-800 junk guy. No kidding. So, you know, and I always thought that showed your character of who you were. And that was my first interaction with you, really.
Yeah, well, I remember you did a great job and you made an impression. And sometimes kids need to be given a different approach, right? Yeah. We know what it's like to go through the school system with ADD and not take the road most traveled and do things differently. And sometimes your speech, your talk was bang on. Really appreciated it.
Well, and what was cool is you and I spoke further when we would meet up at different points was we had a lot of overlap with that. And I became fascinated with something we were doing. And then I think you took to a new level. And that was the, can you imagine? And when you shared what you're doing with your daughter's school, I think this is such like the Rosetta Stone of success. I'd love for you to talk about, can you imagine a little bit? Because I know you're doing with entrepreneurs and your big teams, but also with the children as well.
Yeah, well, what started as a way to try and inspire others to dream big and envision their future and possibilities for themselves, it was something that I did in my business, but I thought, how do I bring this to a bigger, wider audience, i.e. children who need some possibility thinking? And where this whole concept started was right around the time that I joined EO, the entrepreneur organization, in 1996, way back. I had joined and I had a $1 million business. That's what you needed to get in. And it took me 8 years to get my little junk removal company there. And I remember comparing myself to others and thinking, there's all these entrepreneurs with bigger, sexier businesses. I haven't finished school. I don't have the money to necessarily grow this. What could this business be? And I took out a sheet of paper, one page double-sided, and I just started to imagine the future of what my little business could look like. And I said, we'd be top 30 metros in North America in 5 years, we'd be on the Oprah Winfrey show, we'd be the FedEx of junk removal. And I started imagining really big things for a small business. And when I realized you could get out there, I wrote down this one page double-sided painted picture, and it started to come to life. And I said, I can go out there and make these things happen. And we did. We made it all happen. And then I said, okay, how do we bring that to others? And we had this wall in our office. And we called it the Can You Imagine Wall. And I encouraged people to come up with their big dreams and ideas. Building on us getting on the Oprah Winfrey show, people said, can you imagine if we were on Dr. Phil, the Ellen DeGeneres show? Can you imagine if we were had a Harvard Business case study written about us? Can you imagine all sorts of big things starting in another country like Australia? And it worked so well for us, just people being reminded in the company every day, walking past this wall, seeing big hopes, dreams, and desires that we'd ultimately be able to put a big check mark beside, and they happened. I said, okay, bigger audience, kids, they're our future. How do we get them inspired?
Yeah.
And so I started with a wall at my kid's school, and I went to every single class and I asked every single kid to write down their Can You Imagines. And we took a selection of them and got them up on this beautiful mural. It's still in the office or in the school, this elementary school, 8 years later, I think. And it's unbelievable. People are inspired by it. Some kid putting their name behind, I'm going to find a cure for cancer. Or can you imagine if people just got along? Can you imagine if there was an end to racism? Can you imagine playing on the women's gold medal hockey team in the Olympics? I mean, some big, cool stuff that you never know when a kid plants a seed in their mind at an early age, they might actually go on to make some of that magic happen. And all it started with was an idea.
I agree. And I think you never know quite the trajectory that you change on that. And what was interesting, when you shared that with me, I remember you sent me an email, I'm reading it. I don't even know if you know that, but we were doing something similar to our retreats and we called it the Dreaming Room, who I know Michael Gerber taught me that. It was one of the guys I know that recommends your books highly. The email, you know, was great, changer for me. But he's the one who told me the story that his brother-in-law was Walt Disney's right-hand man. And Walt Disney had these rules where he'd go into Dreaming Rooms. And Roy Disney was not invited because he was the CFO. So he couldn't talk about money. He couldn't have accounting or legalities. It was just, okay, let's imagine as big as we can go. And supposedly that's how Disney World in Orlando came about because they went into these Dreaming Rooms. And I was like, isn't that interesting? On your own, you didn't even know that story. You figured this same thing. Or a lot of people would think it's kind of just woo-woo. Really, come on. You know, we're just throwing pixie dust at this point. But now working with kids for 10 years, the stories that come back are almost, they give you goosebumps. And I'd love to, it'll be fun to see in 10 years where some of those kids come back and go, hey, Mr. Scudamore, remember when you had me write that on the wall? But but you mark my words, I think that's going to happen.
Well, and you could literally have someone who take the one, for example, of finding a cure for cancer. You could literally have someone that goes on a search because of that idea they planted up there, that imagination that they used saying, wow, what would the world be like if cancer was eliminated, if there was a cure, if there's a vaccine, whatever it would be. And they might become a science major and they might study and become a cancer researcher. And if it's not them discovering the cure, they might have inspired someone else. I mean, it's all related.
Sure.
And we're at a time having come off of or still coming out of a pandemic.
Yeah.
And what was everyone doing? We were at home. We were stressed, depressed, scared. You have all these kids being told no so often. Now's the time to think about, well, what could the world look like? And what are our gifts, not just as adults and parents, you and I, but as children inspired to do anything they could set their mind to?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think in addition to that, again, I told you however many years ago it was, probably 4 or 5 Christmases ago, I gave my sons and my nephews WTF. And you should, you know, everyone open it. We're at my parents' house. Now, WTF, when you grow up in New Jersey, is a totally different meaning, which I love your play on words for that.
Yeah.
And they all read it and they all got something out of it because the approach I loved with you is you're willing to fail. And it wasn't like, hey, I come from this knighthood lineage. You had struggles. You had the ADD. You were moving from place to place. And there was a relatability. I watched it with my sons and my nephews. And just you giving that permission that failing's going to happen. Hey, my mistakes are good. I wouldn't take them back because I wouldn't have learned. That was huge. How have you seen with the kids using this willing to fail? Have you talked, I know you have 3 children of your own and you're giving a lot of your time to young entrepreneurs. What's the lesson you really express over this willing to fail? I think it's huge.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, WTF, willing to fail, is all about just embracing failure. If you look at all the entrepreneurs and successful people you and I have been so blessed to meet, have any of them ever succeeded without failure? Of course not.
No.
They've all made tons and tons of big mistakes. And the learning, the teacher is the failure. If you allow yourself to put the guilt, the self-sabotage aside and not beat yourself up over the failure, but go, oh, wow, isn't that interesting? Ben Zander, one of the best speakers I've ever heard in my life, and got to know a little bit over the years. He was the conductor of the Boston Philharmonic Orchestra.
Oh, wow.
And he used to say, whenever something bad happened, you just go, wow, how fascinating, with a smile. And so failure, it's the same thing. Just be like, wow, I wonder what this is about. I wonder what I can learn. I went to meet a dozen experts in franchising when I considered franchising 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And all 12 of them, from McDonald's and big brands, had said, no, it can't be franchised. I didn't just take the no, the failure. I said, well, why not? What's missing? What would make it franchisable? Why don't you see it being franchisable? And I'd write down all their answers. And then I went and retweaked the model and made it happen. And today we've got a $600 million business in a space that said, people said it can't be done.
Yeah.
You can see this quote, you talked about Walt Disney. there's a Walt Disney quote over my right shoulder. It's kind of fun to do the impossible.
Yeah, I love that quote by him. And I think that actually came out of his dreaming rooms. So it's funny how these things all work in cycles. Mm-hmm. And one of the best lessons, Brian, I love watching your journey and cheering you on with like one day painting and really going into the new brands, was you said something. Now, with my copy of the book, so, you know, I have underlines and then I have my ADD star underlines, like, you know, and there's like, this is the point. One of the big ones that I had, and it wasn't only for me, but my kids, was when you said the secret of success is to start before you're ready. Mm-hmm. I think that's so smart, because everyone's going, oh yeah, Brian Scudamore, he's got however many countries and almost a $1 billion brand now. And yeah, but you were in college on a giant cell phone starting this out. You certainly weren't ready to take on McDonald's and being getting $100 million offers on your businesses. You were not ready to do what you're doing now. Wouldn't that be safe to say?
Of course. It's the build the rocket ship while you're flying it. Just get out there and start building while you're on the journey. And that's where failure comes in. You never know unless you try. And if you don't fail, it's the failure that gives you that gift of, okay, that didn't work, but what would make it work? How do I adjust? How do I tweak? Someone who, you could pick any sport, I don't know, baseball. Do you get good at hitting the ball out of the park by striking out? Of course. I mean, that's where it starts.
Yep.
You don't hit every single ball. You miss, you miss, you miss, you adjust. And I would love kids to be able to have some confidence around failure, that when you do fail, you get to check it off and go, okay, there it is. I've got three kids, and my middle one, I remember years ago, she came back from a ski class that she used to do on the weekends. She was crying. I don't want to go back. I don't want to do this. I keep falling. And I said, you fall? She's like, yeah, it hurts. And I said, do you know that like Olympians used to fall? Do you know that all these people, like, that's where you start?
Yeah.
And you fall and you learn how to stop falling or don't fall as often. And she came back at the end of the next ski day. I'd convinced her to go, and she comes back and she's like, guess what? I fell. And she did a big smile. And I'm like, okay, you know, that stuck, that resonated. But it really is, you can't get anywhere without failing.
Yeah.
I've got four brands right now. Sorry, I've got three brands right now. I used to have four. We had one, a moving company, that failed for us. We couldn't make it work. That's okay. It taught us a lot of things about our business and our leadership and what we needed to do differently. You got to embrace failure.
And I think that's so important. I know a major mission for you is you really do like to inspire entrepreneurship, not only for old fogies like me, but also our kids. And I think it's really important for that to happen. Why do you think it's so important for us parents to inspire, not force, but inspire and introduce them to entrepreneurship?
Well, I just think that anybody who's got that ADD personality and big ideas, and they're told no so much, it's a path that is often the right path for that person. You know, the thing I have most in common with some of my entrepreneur buddies is most of us haven't finished school or didn't finish college, dropped out at some point.
Yep.
And so I think in showing people that entrepreneurship is a very viable path for someone that might not fit the mold.
Yeah.
And that's what makes us great, I think, as entrepreneurs, is we challenge the status quo and we do things differently. So I love nothing more than watching people find their passion. And you got to make mistakes to get there. You got to try different things. You got to stretch outside your comfort zone. And life's a journey. But like, what an amazing journey we get to be on, right? Like, look at whether it's as an entrepreneur or whatever career choice, everyone's got a gift. And if you can inspire your children, your students, people to go, what's unique about me? What do I love to do? What's my gift in the world? I've never met a kid that doesn't have a gift.
Yeah. You know what I love? It's that, what am I good at? What do I enjoy? What does the world need? You know, when you look at it, you're good at really taking brands to some place. I can tell you enjoy it by the things you do. And and I have nothing against medieval basketry. You know what I mean? But we need a junk removed. And that's the third step that I really watched you do. And I think an important thing, and I talked to my sons about this, about there's different levels of entrepreneurship. What I really like about the franchise model, and I've never done it personally, but I've had good friends do it, even some with you, was it brings that mentor in. And I remember in Willing to Fail, you said something that slapped me in the face. I mean, it just was, whoa, I needed to hear that 25 years ago. And what you said was, and I want to make sure I wrote it down, why is it that entrepreneurs so often decide they need a partner when they really just need a mentor? I used to go, Brian, you know, you go to these first, you know, for my real estate investment company, you'd be all these newbies learning real estate investing, and you'd be all excited, but nervous and scared. So you turn to the guy next to you and say, let's partner up. Let's become partners, where you have the same little bit of experience without any funding. And and I loved how you wrote that. We're always looking for a partner, but maybe it's more of a mentor, which you got in EO. But I see you as a mentor for business owners with all the brands and franchises that you offer. And I think that ups the odds for success greatly.
Yeah. And I think a mentor can be an author that you might never have met. It can be someone you're inspired by. A mentor is just someone that gives you a platform or a way of thinking that you can learn from. Or it could be someone that you've actually sat down with and gotten to know over a bunch of conversations, and they help guide you. They're your Yoda in the woods kind of thing. But having a mentor, we don't always need partners. I took on a partner in the early days because I just thought, oh, it'd be more fun. I can't do this alone. But I realized by having a partner, it highlighted for me that I can do it alone. And I'm better doing it alone because I can make a choice as to what direction I want to go and have control over the vision and do it my way until I'm ready to build a team of people that don't have to be partners, even if I want to treat them like partners. We often just rush to that partnership answer and think, like you said, we're two people, neither of us have experience, let's do this together. And it can be more fun, but it isn't always the smartest approach when you can find a mentor who will sit down and guide you just because they want to give back and they see something in you that is special and they want to help you.
Such a different way of looking at things. And I had never heard anyone say that, but it made all the sense in the world. Or at times when I tried to force a partnership, it just wasn't the right decision. Like you said, we thought it was going to be more noble or more fun, but it really confuses things. So not that partnerships are bad or ventures aren't good to do together, but sometimes a mentor is what's more needed than that partner. I think that's so important with starting your own business. And I do want to talk about that, the be your own boss, build your own business. I mean, again, kudos, high fives on the play on words. I love the WTF to BYOB and the double meaning on that. But that book's just coming out. So I'd love to talk about that. And I'm looking forward to reading it as well.
Yeah. So BYOB, which build your own business, be your own boss. We added a couple of different things that it stood for because some people want to be the boss. They want to be their own boss, control their own destiny and freedom and so on. Others want to build a business and just love to create, love to watch things grow. So whatever someone's reason for wanting to start their own business, they say that 66% of Americans want to start their own business, but a far smaller percentage actually do. I want to inspire more people to take the leap. And I highlight a couple of different paths that I think are very viable. And one is, and I talk about them both very equally, I think, and fairly. One is starting with a blank sheet like I did, taking an industry and doing it completely differently in a way that's never been done, starting from nothing and creating something. But it took me 8 years to get to $1 million in revenue. It was a slow overnight success. It took a while to get there. My franchise owner, Paul Guy, our first franchise owner who's based in Toronto, he took our formula for starting a franchise. He took a different path, starting a franchise, starting from a proven recipe. He did $1 million in his first calendar year.
Wow.
Because he had a proven recipe. Today, he's doing over $100 million in revenue across all his franchises. And so some people believe that you have to, being an entrepreneur means creating something from nothing. It doesn't mean that you've created something from nothing where you can't take an idea of someone else's and build on it. There's plenty of coffee shops. Someone takes a coffee shop and does it differently, or maybe they copy their competition and they do it very similarly. That's okay. I think what I want to inspire is that whether you start from scratch or start a franchise, there's different ways to start a business and you find what suits your own personality. So Shaquille O'Neal, who I talk about in the book, who I've gotten to know a little bit over the last couple of years, which has been great. I did not realize this until my first conversation with him, that he's the franchise king. He got out there and took what he learned from basketball, from leadership, from playing a game, from setting goals, from building a team, and said, hey, Brian, business is the same. I'm putting them into a franchise. They know how to develop these leaders, take a proven recipe, follow the rules, and just crank it up. And the guy's worth $500 million in all these different brands he's building through franchising, but he doesn't need to be the guy creating the business from scratch. He doesn't need to create and build the race car. He wants to be the one driving it. And it's working for him. So it's kudos to him for adding some glamour and stuff to the franchise space. I mean, the guy is killing it.
That's great. And he's leveraging, like you said, he doesn't necessarily need the money, but he wants to do something that he enjoys and enjoys the game of entrepreneurship. Why start from scratch when you can leverage off and have quick? I mean, I love that example. That's a long overnight success, 8 years. People forget how many times you go to bed over 8 years.
Yeah.
First revenue to hit it in the first year. And that's what I love, the leveraging effect for franchises, because you've answered a lot of the questions than going from scratch. And not that you can't do both, you know, people have multiple businesses. But what would you say the number one takeaway that you're seeing for Be Your Own Boss? Like, what would be the Brian Scudamore takeaway?
From BYOB, from the book?
Yeah.
I think, you know, I start off the book and I say, like, the concept of BYOB, bring your own beer, is show up with a cold drink, a lemonade, a beer, whatever you'd like, and join me in this conversation over 90 minutes through the book. It's not a long read, but it's meant to inspire some action so that at the end of the book, you go, okay, I've dreamt of being an entrepreneur or improving the business I have currently. And so I'm going to read Brian's book. But by the end, I want to choose a path. Am I creating it from nothing? Am I creating a proven path? And I'm not trying to sell people into our franchises, but it's any franchise. Go and do a brand with Shaquille O'Neal. Whatever you're going to do, just start a business if that's what you're meant to be. The third choice is go work with an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Go join an entrepreneurial business and learn and see if that's really what you want. And then, of course, the fourth choice is, fourth pass is give up on the dream. If not everyone's meant to be an entrepreneur, you can still work with an entrepreneurial business. Some people don't want to take the risk. Some people don't believe they can count on themselves and want to be a part of a team versus leading a team. Those are all okay. We've got many options in this world, and thank goodness we're all so different. Makes the world an amazing place. But the book, the takeaway is, do you really want to be an entrepreneur? And if so, take action. What are you going to do to take the next step towards making that happen?
I love it. I love it. And one of the things, I can hear the little guy on all of our shoulders, Brian, out of a pandemic, there's inflation. And here you are saying you don't think there's any better time to start a business. Like, why do you say that? How can we encourage people out there, especially our youngsters? Because I'm starting to come across people I started when they were 14 and now they're 24 and they're really going to the business. And this is what they're saying to me. Oh, inflation. Mm-hmm. And, oh, the pandemic. Mm-hmm. What advice do you give to them? Because you're saying, I don't think there's a better time than now.
Yeah. I mean, I've always felt that there's no better time than now. If it's something you're meant to do, building a business is not a get rich quick overnight thing. It's a long-term play. The sooner you start, the more momentum you can build. So think about momentum for a second. In my case, a million, it took us 8 years to get to our first million. We did $1 million in revenue this morning. That just shows that hockey stick momentum of, like, it takes a long time. But the sooner you start, the more runway you've got for this momentum. But the other reason is I started my business in a recession, late 80s, early 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Tough labor market. I couldn't find a job. I went and created my own, all that sort of stuff. I think anytime you're starting a business, you're starting so small that those big macroeconomic factors, they don't matter.
Yeah.
People will look at my spaces. 1-800 Got Junk, junk removal. Wow One Day Painting, painting homes. And Shack Shine, windows, gutters, power washing, and Christmas lights. People always use those services. They might use them a little less in a recession. They might do some of the work themselves, but there's still plenty of people. It's a massive space, and people still need to maintain their homes in good times and bad. It doesn't go away. So find an area that you can be in that can thrive. So many wonderful businesses were born out of recessionary times or born out of a pandemic. I mean, imagine the brands that we're going to hear about when they celebrate their 10-year anniversaries in 2030. And, you know, you hear some young success story of some gal, some guy who said, I started my business during the pandemic working from home. It's a great time to start a business. Absolutely. Start small, build some momentum, and it's a perfect time.
I love it. I love it. I get on a flight tomorrow. I'm flying to Dallas. I'm meeting with probably about 200 entrepreneurs. And they're all bringing, I'm bringing two of my sons. Everyone's bringing some of their teens. So I'm getting branched off with just the teens tomorrow. I'm going to let them know that just yesterday, I was talking to Brian Schoonemore. I'm going to bring you up. What do you want me to tell this group of, it's going to be probably about, I don't know, 80, 100 teens, mm-hmm. 14 to 25. What do you think I should tell them? Because they're going to know who you are. They're going to know, I'm going to talk about a little what you've done. What yeah. do you think I should tell them?
I want you, thank you. I want you to tell them that Brian Schoonemore says, go out and make some mistakes in the world. Now be safe, right? We don't want anyone getting hurt, but I mean, go out and stick to your values, be safe, but make some mistakes, take some risks, try some new things, get out of your comfort zone and go find your passion. If you just stick to the, you know, Vern Harnish says, you know, grow where you're planted. You're building a business in some area that you know. I think when you're a teen, it's like, don't grow where you're planted. Go explore and figure out how the heck to get out there and try new things. Absolutely. Do something you've never done. Absolutely. And take those early years to find out what could your passion possibly be.
Yeah.
You know, you take Fred DeLuca, who's someone I talk about in the book, and he was a mentor of mine.
Frank DeLuca from Subway?
Fred DeLuca, yeah. He started Subway. And yeah. Fred, you know, he's since passed on. He was an amazing man. But Fred started a sandwich shop, which became, you know, it was Pete's Submarines. It ended up becoming Subway, of course, as we all know. And here's a guy that was going to medical school. And this was meant to fund his way through college, but he also dropped out. Guy was going to be a doctor and became a sub sandwich king. You never know where your path's going to go unless you try new things.
Love it. Brian, where can people learn more about you? More about BYOB, Brian Schoonemore, everything. Can you imagine? Where's the best way for people to contact you?
Well, Google, man. Google's got it all. Just put Brian Schoonemore in the Google and you got it. You'll find my social media, my website, our brands, thought leadership work, books, you name it. I love inspiring the world in terms of entrepreneurship. And if anyone ever wants to reach out and send me a message on any of my social media, go for it. But I just love knowing that people that get into entrepreneurship take on a real challenging path, but it becomes so rewarding and so much fun, as you know. I mean, it's those teens that you're going to talk to tomorrow. It's exciting. Many of them will become entrepreneurs. Yep. And it's just an amazing profession to get into because it's so different each and every day. And the ups and the downs, we get to ride them all like surfing big waves, just going, wow, this is unbelievable. And so much fun.
I agree. Brian, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for all that you've written. Thank you for, again, our first introduction. I'll never forget it, how kind and supportive you were. And I look forward to many more times together. And thanks for sharing, too. I know a lot of big business guys like you don't share some of the stuff like you've done with your own children, but that, can you imagine, I think is such a starting point for so many. I really appreciate you putting it out there and taking the time to share it.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you for having me, Jim. It was always fun.
See you soon, Brian. Take care.
All right, you too.
Thanks for joining the 18 Summers podcast and putting your family in priority position. Subscribe and leave a review and help other families just like you.